Like, oh my god.
defeats
Oh my god.
I'm fixing my hair even though it's just audio, which
It's
is
just
crazy.
audio. Everybody, welcome.
Hey,
Welcome.
where you been? Why
Where
did
have
you
you
leave
been?
us? Why did you leave us for so long?
Why did you abandon us forever?
Why did you say you hated us and then we had to leave and it made us sad? I just don't remember. What did we do to you?
Have we done to make you hate us? Theology on the Rocks, we're back.
Welcome. We're back.
It's season two.
Season two.
Season two.
Look at us.
And season two comes with really exciting updates in light of we had to start using a different platform to record this. And guys, I think that means we can also edit some stuff, which if you liked the
No promise,
chaos of an unedited
no
podcast,
promises.
that's
We
probably
went
still
a
going to
whole
exist.
season without editing. I did one thing.
You edited one time.
I took out one thing, which if you ask me in person, I'll tell you.
Tell you the story of that one thing
Was
that came
really
out that.
not any scandalous thing. It was just me being incredibly irresponsible and not wanting to like pass that on to the rest of the world.
Know, we had a moment of thinking like we might be role models for somebody.
It wasn't illegal technically, but I just like didn't want to be in the world. So I was like, Chris, we gotta take that out. Otherwise, you have gotten a completely unfiltered podcast.
Unfiltered. Yeah, I can't promise that we're actually going to edit because that means that we'd have to learn how to use this new
This looks
system.
so crazy. And also I
It's
can see Christy's face, which is
it.
Christy and I always look like on videos. You'll notice this if you saw the recent Homebrewed Christianity where shout out where we were on there. I look
Yes.
like I've been like kidnapped and put into a basement of some
You
persuasion.
don't. You don't.
I did at the time. I do on that particular podcast. And I look back and I was like, it didn't feel like it doesn't feel dark in my room. But I also think you and I have like mood lighting because it's very.
We are mood lighting people, and the only reason that particular podcast I have better lighting is because I literally plugged a lamp in and set it up right next to my laptop. Because when we were on Josh, shout out to Rethinking Faith's podcast, we were on his, it looked like I was filming in the dark. Like just like my electric bill had gotten declined or something. It was so
I
dark.
mean, this is dark times, Christy. It's dark times.
One time, one of my coworkers asked me, he was like, "Did you not pay for your electricity this month? It's so dark in your place." Like,
Mine.
I swear all the lights are on and it doesn't feel that dark, but
Mean, my house, they did decide they were going to install lighting from, even though it was built in the early 2000s, from like 1996. So if you can imagine, like, these giant fans, but they're all here is the wackadoodle thing. If you buy a house from someone else, you'll know this is you can't pick it, and you didn't choose this life. This life chose you.
yep.
And every single fan in my house, and let these people loved a good fan. There is at least like eight. They're all different. But one of the common themes is they have these like lights are supposed to be for illuminating, as far as I know, and I am
I
not
mean,
a smart
I
person,
hear
but
that. I hear that.
they have these domes, these clouded domes that they put over all the lights. And I'm like, okay, so you wanted to illuminate, but like not really do
Not
that.
really.
So that's in the living room. And then in the dining room, for some reason, they're like, you know what? We're not sure about the dome, but we're going to put a cage over it that has some holes in it. So like every room in my house you go to, you're in a different world.
Yeah.
It's just
My the only overhead lighting I have in the it's like a dining room living room combo that I'm in, and the only overhead lighting is in the dining room part, and it's a ceiling fan also. Probably because we're in the south and it's hot AF.
is, but I'm telling you, here's
But
Leah's controversial drop of the day. I don't love a ceiling fan. It
it
makes
I
me
mean
feel
I like the
strange.
ceiling fan, but the thing is that because I didn't buy this, I am renting, and so similarly, I also don't get to choose things. But they only have two working light bulbs. It's like it's got four thingies, but only two of the light bulbs actually work. And because I am not an overhead light person, I just don't care.
So in summary, if you guys could send us GoFundMe for lighting,
start that would be GoFundMe cool. for some.
So that all of the dudes that want to do podcasts with us will not
we'll
be
frustrated.
They'll be able to see us.
Josh,
prove that we are indeed.
Are you there? Someday, maybe we'll buy ourselves some selfie like ring lights for this.
I don't know.
I think that's a step too far for me.
I don't think I can do that.
Oh my god!
I think that's one influence step too far. I can't.
Once it's a little bit more than we can handle.
Once I hit 40, I was like
a little bit more.
And then I've lost something. So guys, thanks so much for coming back to us. We didn't plan on going this hard. I don't think. We're just gonna do the summer because we both had big plans. And then
we had intentions of coming
faded
back
into fall. This was a thing to you.
The fall semester has started out with a bulldozer just running the both of us over in a myriad of ways. And so, we were intending to come back sooner, but life did not allow for that.
No, but you know what? Here we are, and we're here to love you, and we will never leave you. Well, we can't promise never, because we will die one day, but...
We will die one day.
We'll try not to leave you, too.
You know, it's like when I leave my house, and I tell my dog, like, I'll be back later, and she doesn't know what that means. Same here. We don't really know what it means.
We're like, Chrissy just dropped that we were taking a summer break. I didn't even know that we were doing that. And then I was like, okay. Then we'll just come back sometime. So
I saw that writing on the wall. We were both in Europe. So let's talk about where we were this summer.
Okay, before we do, guys, our drink we've decided to do is salt.
We're drinking mimosas today.
We were doing mimosas because we felt like it was celebratory.
Cheers. Cheers to the mimosas.
So here is the thing. I have this and it looks like there's nothing in it, but I do want to note that this is the wine glass from my senior prom, which I found in the thing of secrets at my parents' house. And it says Ringgold High School junior senior prom, April 15th in the year 2000.
My god,
the theme was I've had the
you time got a my wine life. Glass for prom.
I got a wine glass candle for prom, so I had to burn it.
Okay, hell.
From 24 years ago. Here's what I did that was wrong.
What did you do?
Remember when I had the raspberry extract way back when?
Yes. It was like early in the podcasting life.
I realized I didn't have any juice. I had Prosecco. I didn't have juice. So this is Prosecco with raspberry extract. We're back to where we started. It smells like something that you would use to take the paint off the wall. I'm upset about it.
Okay, well, can I tell you my secret about my mimosa? I did have orange juice, but do you want to know what this orange juice the expiration date is?
Oh no. We're back to where we start. We've come full circle. We've learned nothing in one season.
We've learned nothing. It says September of 2023, which cannot be true. That can't be true.
Girl, that's like many. That's numerically only one, but that's a lot for orange juice.
Here's what I'm concerned about is that I didn't move this from one house to another. Like, I bought this while living in this house, and I have not lived here for a year. So, did I buy expired orange juice?
A plus B equals C, I'm told.
Anyway, so pray for us, y'all, as we drink
these. Chrissy, I don't know if I can drink this. I may have to get another one, but just note.
That's okay.
I've had the time of my life. So, bye.
That's amazing. We did not get wine glasses for prom. Ooh,
raspberry, but like titanium raspberry. I'm gonna be right back, and you tell everybody about your favorite moment from the wedding because I wasn't there.
So we were in Europe for our dear friend Rika's wedding, which we were both at. But I also was in a wedding in Italy for my bestie Sam. So it was wedding season in Europe. And I want to stress that Leah and I both had, like both of us have lived in Europe. We've lived there for a long time. We are seasoned travelers. But we both got very screwed over by the traveling this summer. Yes. I don't know if you remember what happened? Do you remember it was like the hacking that happened and all the flights got canceled?
Oh no, it was the, like, there was some sort of like, well, maybe, I don't know. I mean, this is a Stuart question, but like, essentially, like, the websites and stuff were crashing for like American and Delta. And
yeah,
the consequence,
and you all got stranded.
It didn't really matter what the airlines were specifically, because it was just like a knock-on effect for everybody else, basically. Also, I redid mine with Prosecco and Gatorade. And honestly, it looks the right color now, and it tastes infinitely better.
It tastes better? That's good. My other option, if I felt like this orange juice was too questionable, was to stick a popsicle in the Prosecco.
We already did that.
I know, but that was all I had left. I don't drink juice. I don't have Gatorade.
We're still your trash bag ants. We're still here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we went to Europe, and I got stuck in Italy for a while, and it was a little touch and go.
Yeah, Leah and Stuart were stuck in Italy because of that hack, whatever happened that shut down all the airlines.
We went hard in Scotland. That was
I just failed at life. I mean, we both had a rough time. However,
I was trying to visit. My thing with Scotland was like, but I lived in Edinburgh, worked in Edinburgh, and lived and worked in Glasgow. So yeah. I wanted to visit people in both of those places, but then also extended in-laws are all in Scotland. So
right, yeah, Stuart's family,
Stuart's
yeah.
mom, Stuart's dad, Stuart's my brother and sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a whole thing. So it was a lot of. You know, people are like, you're going to Scotland. I'm like, I'm going to a family reunion.
That's, I think, like, as much fun as it was to be at the weddings and to see people, and obviously we both miss our Scottish people desperately, but it was also, like, it's not a vacation for us. It's like, go back and you've got stuff to do, people to see, running around.
And it was awesome because, like, I will say, like, we made it like an event, all the things. So like we visited, it was an event of some sort, which I did appreciate.
Yeah. So we also saw some pictures that we posted of some of our experiences, but yeah, it was a busy summer and we both came back just absolutely exhausted and wrecked. And then August
sleep for 3 days because people were like, oh, you're stuck in Italy. That's amazing. And I'm like, I'm stuck in an airport in Italy. Yeah. Although they do have wine in the vending machines. So it was awesome. But anyway, between that and then, like, you know, honestly, the thing with Scotland, it felt like it was too quick for me. Like, if I was to do it over, I would have spent more time so I could have, like, a little bit of, like, leisure time. Mm-hmm. But also just getting it cut short like that. Honestly, we were all lucky we were able to get home.
Yeah.
Shout out to nobody. Okay, shout out to one woman in the Bari, Italy airport. Who allowed me to go crazy for a swift moment and then collect myself. And she was kind of a therapist to me the whole time.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't have a moment.
I mean, it was so rough. And I had to take my dog to Phoenix. And the day that I flew back to Tampa after I picked her up was I was in the air when the whole thing went down. And so, like, I landed in Tampa to just a slew of text messages of people being like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, Christy was, like, ahead of me. We came together at the wedding, but you were, like, a week ahead of me.
Yeah, I had been there for a week before you got there, and then I went to Italy. And then we had the wedding, and then you were there for a little bit longer than I was. I mean, it was really busy. And then August was just a steamroller of a month. I
Well, I feel
have
like we're
not
still
had.
recovering because I will say, in the moment when I was talking to the lady at the Italy airport, I was like, just get me to the island. I don't care where. So, we lived in Europe. I was like, I don't care where it is. Just get me somewhere near that island.
Just get me onto the island. I don't care. That's what I said in COVID during when I moved back, and it wasn't an intentional move back. I just was trying to get to the States when in March of 2020, I said to the lady, just get me across the ocean. I can handle the rest on my own. And she was like, she was so sweet. She was like, no, I'm gonna get you home. I'm gonna get you home. And I was like, okay. And she did. She flew me all the way. I mean, we
That
had
woman
to,
got me to Manchester, England, and
yeah.
so close.
It was close enough.
That's like,
Oh
oh,
my gosh. But
you got me on the island, to
it
be
was a
fair.
great wedding. Leah was the officiant for the wedding, and so I got to watch as she married our bestie Rika off to her
Yeah,
new
it was
husband,
good.
and it was very solid.
One of our Scottish friends commented to Stuart, Leah's a really good public speaker. I didn't know that. It's like, there's not a lot. Like, if you're like, oh, Leah's good at math, I'll be like, don't make
That's not
fun of
true.
me. Don't make fun of me. But like, that I was like, I think,
I agree, but I've seen it happen a few times.
yeah, I know. But then you realize, like, public speaking, not for you and I, but like, it is a real big fear for people. Like, they
I know.
just,
Do you
I think
know?
it's up there with like the worst ones.
I kid about this every now and then, is that I heard this was years ago, and I don't think it's probably true anymore, but it was like the number one fear for
Yeah.
people was public speaking. And I mean, certainly there's times I've been nervous, but like about a minute in, and it's just like old hat. But
Well, we don't usually talk about things we don't know, which is fair,
that's
because
fair.
except for, I think, in beer camp when I was talking about capitalism with Jord, who's like, and
This year, tell us
he's
what
a
you're talking
man gain
about.
is like an expert, and I was like, I mean, I lived in China once or
I
two. I had a good time. It's not so bad. My mom cried, but we're good.
This year, your topic is great for beer camp. If you're not coming, you should.
Oh,
Theology beer camp, it's in less than a month. There's still time to sign up.
I don't know if that's true. I think it's sold out.
Oh, is it? Never mind. I take it back.
Well, you know what? Just check it out for
You know
yourself.
what?
Don't miss
You go on that website.
Go on
Handle
that
your own
website.
business.
2024. I thought I saw that it was either sold out or almost sold out, but
It's
you know
e
what?
either almost sold out or it is sold out. You're
Maybe
right.
you can sell like a newborn child or something and get in there. Just haggle your way in. That's the world we live in now.
Rock on up and see what happens. I don't know.
You received, you heard,
Later, when Trip
heard
calls
Tracy.
us and is like, stop telling people these things.
Get informed. It's your thing. Okay. But that'd require us to be on top of things.
And we are not.
We're still in Europe. I'm still in Italy,
I
just hanging
mean,
out by that wine vending machine.
spiritually, I'm in a cabin in the borders of Scotland, just sitting by a peat fire and drinking whiskey. So,
Well, yours is better. But yeah, so go to beer camp if you can. It's in Colorado for the millionth time, she says. And not beer
Leah's been
camp.
to Colorado 3 times and she's over it.
But like, not even
Well, this
like,
will
and
be
this,
your third time.
like first child making fun of Christy about Colorado, but for real, she knows this is true. It feels like everything's been in Colorado for like a while, at least for the things that I've been to, and which is very like, feels like a me problem, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think that I have the kind of like angst about it that you do, but
I wouldn't if it was Atlanta, like I'm saying, if it was my
if
peeps,
it
I'd
was
be cool.
Atlanta, I would be like, oh no, this is my nightmare.
Well,
But
if it
that's
was
only
Atlanta,
because I've only been there once and it was terrifying. It was a
yeah, I mean
terrifying
it is.
experience.
That's part of, I told you that's our whole thing. We
That's
don't
Atlanta.
not you're thinking Charlotte, where we're like, everyone wants you here. That's not Atlanta. Atlanta's like, oh, you showed up. What
Yeah.
you doing?
What are you doing here?
What are
Which is
you doing
exactly
here?
the vibe I got, was like a lot of people being like, why are you here? And I was like, I don't know.
I think it's up on like the mean, but you know what? I love it with all my heart because you know what people don't do? Move there like they do to Charlotte and Colorado.
It's true. Stop moving to the places we love.
Well, then maybe they need to start being a little meaner about it. Yeah. And it would be fine. No, Atlanta would just be good because it's not, honestly, at this stage, it's plane flights, but also just like, it's like you in Colorado, we wouldn't have to pay to play.
Yeah.
Which would be nice.
But only if we stay in the Rockets of Colorado. Anyway, what are you talking about at beer camp?
Oh, haha. So I got to pick it was kind of a discussion, but mostly I picked it. I'm talking with a guy named Ryan, I think, right? I
haven't seen. I have actually none of this information. Ryan. So
I do. Yeah, we've met before, and I'm going to get some good background info before I get there. I'm not a very prepared speaker, sometimes. We're talking. So I started, Trip texted me with Ryan and said, you know, what do you want to actually talk about at beer camp? And you're on the geek stage. And I was like, you know, what I thought was a real gap that people didn't really talk about is horror. And it kind of bugs me because you guys know my feelings. Ryan does. That's who I'm talking about. It kind of bugged me. We don't really talk about horror in the same way we talk about fantasy and stuff in theology, which I think is actually a mistrick there, or fantasy and sci-fi stuff. So I was like, what if we do horror? And then they're like, okay, but like, and I don't remember anyone ever talking about horror at beer camp, or honestly, AR for that matter. I don't think like the genre.
I've heard one paper given.
You mentioned it, yeah.
I've heard one paper given, but it wasn't like a panel, or it was just like the session. It was a regional AAR, and it was a session, and the three papers were kind of a mixture of things, and one person talked about horror movies and the image of God in relationship to the villains. It was a fantastic paper. So I'm really excited that you guys are doing that.
Ridley Scott has so I'm big into horror. And I know, although especially classical horror. So Aliens is what we're going to be talking about, the franchise. But specifically, we're going to talk about Ridley Scott's contributions. So Ridley Scott, director of many a good film you've probably seen. Has done some sci-fi stuff, but he really liked the Alien series and wanted to create this kind of like universe. And so he did a creation kind of trilogy to show how, because it's one thing to be like, Jason exists. And you just well, he drowned because camp counselors were having sex and now he like haunts that's the creation story of Jason. Spoiler alert. Sorry if you've not seen it. But it's not that complex, right? So he really wanted to be like, okay, I think for him, and this is me editorializing, I think he wanted to like kind of talk about where aliens came from full stop. Like it wasn't just like these aliens.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about Ridley Scott. So he did two. He did Prometheus and he did Covenant. They were not, don't think, sold very well because you don't really see the aliens that much because it's more about like this creation story. But the creation story is really interesting because it's talking about like the first people and how they created the aliens in a way that was not.
I'm obsessed with creation stories. My students probably are annoyed about it, but like I think that if you are trying to figure out what a religion believes in a really quick amount of time, that reading their creation story is like the best way, because it gives you so much like, here's what we think about people, here's like if there's a God, what we think about God, here's what we think about the world, that kind of stuff. And like it's just it's a great way to get a bunch of beliefs and doctrines out there really quickly. Like, so I think that's, I've not seen Alien because I am afraid of things, but
you could watch the first two and you would probably be okay. I mean, like I said, honestly, you could probably watch Alien with Ripley and the cat because, again, spoiler alert, although that's from like the 70s, so I don't know if I feel like I have to do that, or the 80s. The alien only shows up in like the last like 10 minutes of the film. So if you just want to turn it off right but when it's it hits like that mark.
The buildup, right, is like the fear of
it's like it's a big something ship coming with a bunch of dark corners and a lot of like I feel like steam is really used very heavily. Like, oh, there's just for a spaceship that I feel like has to really work properly, there's a lot of like tubes where steam will pop out. And I'm like, and you're like, ah, I'm like, is that not important though? Like, what did that go to? That tube where that steam is just hanging now. So yeah, so Ridley Scott intended to do three. They cut him off at two, as far as I know. That's the story I know. And I mean, it makes sense because, like, you know, money and all that stuff. So you have the whole Alien franchise. I am not going to dig into Alien versus Predator because those movies are trash. And that's my opinion, but also maybe it's also fact.
I mean, I think that I'm just going to trust you on that, but I feel like I've heard it before. I'm wondering if I've heard it from you before or if I've heard it elsewhere.
Well, they're terrible, but also like they're, oh, he did. I was trying to see Blade Runner. That's the one I was trying to think of. He did.
Oh, you know what?
Gladiator, Blade Runner. Yeah.
I actually also, I'm not going to remember enough of this, but I have also heard a theology paper about Blade Runner.
Yeah.
But I cannot.
I think Ridley Scott, like, I think he might be a part-time theologian. Someone should write a paper, a.k.a.
I think that makes total sense.
On Ridley Scott.
I think that makes total sense.
And he also did the most recent
Romulus movie. Looking forward to your talk.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm also looking forward to my computer working better.
It's okay. We're poor. Remember, we can't afford we send us all the money. Send us the Venmos. The Venmos, the Cash Apps, the Bitcoin. Crypto. We accept crypto. I don't know what cryptocurrency is, but we accept it because I can give it to Stuart to figure out.
I was going to say, your husband one time explained it to us, and I remember zero things.
Oh, wow. I don't even remember the explanation taking place.
We were at the company store, and he explained, maybe you were talking to somebody else, and it was just Catherine and I. Oh, the other part of our summer is that my friend Catherine and I came up to Charlotte and hung out with you.
That's true. Well, and let's be honest.
Explained cryptocurrency, and Catherine and I listened to it, and I remember nothing he said. I'm very sorry, Stuart. I'm sorry, Stuart. I remember thinking that was a reasonable explanation and thinking that it made sense and that that was probably like a good explanation of it, but then I immediately expelled it from my brain.
That's also how I work. Oh no. Poor Stuart's just over here. He's like gonna be like a zillionaire and you and I can't afford a freaking computer or light bulbs. And he's gonna be like, well, you should have listened to me about crypto.
And we're like, oh, God.
Sorry, we were drinking raspberry extract in a mimosa. Don't do that. But yeah, they did come up. Well, and they came up to see Blink 182, let's be real.
And then, no, we did. But we also saw you.
You did also see me.
We spent more time with you. We also watched the Olympics while we were there. Oh, and that was.
Guys, they watched the Olympics at volume 4,500. I had to get up and be like, guys, do I need to hear Snoop Dogg this loud? Is that necessary?
The reason we listened to it that loudly is that we did not know how to work the volume on her remote control.
It's down and up. What? Now,
I don't think that I can be blamed for this because of circumstances.
All right, but this one is that, I mean, it's a remote control, Christy. That one's on you. We may be millennials, but we had TVs.
We watched the Olympics. It was great. And then
I finished a book.
Leah finished a book. Leah, tell us about your new book. We're excited about this. I've written a, what is the word I'm looking for? Endorsement. That's it.
You did.
Tom wrote an endorsement, and our dear Bryant wrote an endorsement.
Now, whether they make it or not, how do I say this? It's a very hands-off approach that I've had to this book in the sense of, like, I gave them the text, and apparently I'm getting copies soon. So
yeah.
not sure what is going to be in the book.
So exciting. It's a surprise for everybody.
It's a surprise. Yeah, it is. But then there's the like type A part that just wants to have like a little glance at it before it like hits the shelves.
You know, like I'm assuming you don't, but do you know when it's available or anything? Nope. No. Okay. Nope. That's okay. What is it about?
They gave me a timeline, but here's the thing, all you teachers with timelines, you have to, but their timelines were like in 3 months' time and 4 months' time. You have to know where your start is for the timeline to make sense. So if you say in 2 months' time from when we reach part three of this, you'll get your book. But if you don't know what part you're at, those numbers don't mean much.
If it was like 3 weeks after I do this other thing, you'll get it. But you don't know when I've done the thing. You're just like, someday in the future.
It's in that the makes future. Sense. Yeah. It's in the future. And it's there. I have a cover. That's pretty cool, I will say.
It is a great cover.
Great cover.
It is a great cover. You have a consistent, great cover situation going on. Like, Bad Theology has a great cover. This one has a great cover.
Shout out to David Shervington at SCM for that cover. He picked it out, and I was like, perfect.
You're really
I had no vision of what the Bad Theology cover would look like, and he did Adam and Eve, and I was like, this is brilliant. Like, inspired. Yeah, it's brilliant. And then this one's really, really cool. And then my first one was a local photographer in Belfast, and I got his, I did his work, or got a picture and said, can I use this for a book? And he was really nice about it. He was like, I mean, pay me a little bit, but yeah, you can use it.
No, your covers are great. I love them.
Very much. And then your book came out.
It has, but we've talked about that.
Exciting. But,
you know, it is out. It's in the world. It's on our links, which you can go, and it's on Amazon and everything. So if you want a copy of that.
But yeah, the book's about theology and COVID. So it's sort of a sequel to the other one, and it uses the same criteria, but I look at COVID. I look at different because you know I'm a part-time historian, so I love the history. Yep. And so I look at different pandemics throughout history and how we react to them, which is shockingly the same. We learn nothing, really.
It is upsetting how consistent it is.
You know, it's like I was reading the Spanish flu, and there was this whole anti-mask league that was in San Francisco,
which is wild,
during the Spanish flu, and they're like, you can't make me do this. And I'm like,
gosh,
we really just
literally nothing new under the sun, literally at all, ever.
Various groups poison the wells.
Yeah.
This is all coming from Asia. It's not a new thing. If it was in Europe, there was a lot of anti-Semitism related to certain things. Like, but it's funny. It's not funny. Haha. It's funny. Interesting. Like how it just keeps repeating. Like we keep doing the same things over and over again.
Over and over. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. And so I looked at that, and then I looked specifically at, televangelists and, church leaders. And I will say one of the interesting things that I found through this, and this will be my one quip, and then you got to go buy the book, that when I'll let you know when it comes out, we'll both learn at the same time, is that I honestly, most churches, like I had in my mind when I started this book, I kind of write in a way that I wouldn't necessarily suggest, which is that I get an idea and then I like research the idea. So it's sort of a backwards thing. Like you don't research, you know, and then you get the... Anyway, it's called grounded theory, which again, it's not, I mean, whatever. It can also just be laziness. But the problem was when I started looking at the churches, actually a lot of the most of the churches in the US were pretty good.
Yeah, I think that one of my favorite things about when you were doing the research was actually hearing about the good examples, and I knew that that wasn't what you were aiming for, and like maybe didn't fit within the scope of what you were writing, but it was so nice to know about. And it was so nice to hear people kind of talking about how their church positively handled the pandemic. And I do think that like a good takeaway is that the overwhelming majority of people did try.
They did. They did.
You know,
like, I had to actually like kind of search out some examples. The televangelists were easier because they're just crooks, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Not sorry. But like the church leaders had varying degrees. And I will say some of the ones that were less good were ones that were in kind of bigger churches and more like famous for being like kind of on the right anyway, I would say, if we want to put it that way. But the vast majority of the churches I looked at were sort of like, even ones that didn't necessarily like, there's one that was from my hometown in Ringgold that I use as an example because someone sent it to me. And the guy who's the pastor, it is a completely different viewpoint than I have. It's very sort of like, you know, I'd say Pentecostal in its belief system and healing stuff. But even he was like, y'all need to stay away. Like, you know, and it was just like, you know, Jesus will heal you, but let's not be dumb. You know?
Yeah.
So it was, I appreciated that in a way that it was like, you know, these were people who didn't necessarily agree with me, but like theologically speaking, but that they were still making good choices. I mean, better choices than others, I would say. Not always.
Yeah. I feel like your book, I think, highlighted a lot of important issues. And again, you're going to have to go buy it and read it because it's a good book. It was really well done. I really enjoyed the leading up, the history stuff that you did and covered. It was really, really informative. I really liked the kind of tie-ins that you had to Albert Camus' The Plague. Mm-hmm. And this isn't new that we don't handle these things well in some respects, but it was a really nice, reminder that, like, again, the majority of people were trying, and that it was the people that it was like the people you expect to be bad at it were the ones who were bad at it. It was kind of consistent. So it flowed really nicely out of Bad Theology number one, you know, like, here's,
you should write a recommendation.
I know I should. The setup, here's where we see Bad Theology, but then like, here it is very practically laid out in this thing that we all very recently experienced. So
thank you. I mean, I think with this one, I was hoping it would be like, all my friends bought Bad Theology, but like my friends who are just like non theologians, and they're like, this is great, but I didn't get very far. And I was like, you know what? Here's the thing with this one. I've already done that book. Thank you. That book's done. And it's sort of like your book. Like, you've got your theory and you can use that theory for all time now. And you can write whatever you want because reference yourself. And this one, I really wanted to be for people so they could read and kind of like, because you're right, in Camus, is what I've been calling him. Camus' book, it's interesting because I hadn't read The Plague before, but I read it as I was writing this. And I was like even he wrote it, I think, in the early 1900s, if I remember. And it was like, you're right, the people in that text, it's fictional, but like the people in the text reacted, the ones who were going to be bad reacted badly. And the ones who were heroic. And the ones who weren't, you know, it's just interesting. And then there's some people who get like conscious convictions and change their ways. And it's interesting because, yeah, it doesn't really shift, but then we forget and we think, oh my gosh, no one's ever lived. I hate the things that are like, we're millennials, we've lived through everything. And I'm like,
Everyone has.
Like, everyone, you know.
I think it's also really important, especially in, I mean, right now it is election season and the election is coming up and everyone should go vote and participate in saving the world, essentially. But like, to remember, remember that we're doing a lot better than we think we are a lot of times. And yeah, there are horrible, horrible things happening in the world. But like, humanity has made some progress. And there are good people out there who are trying to do good work. And we should stop being so doomsday about things. Like,
highlighting, I think that was part of the thing with the book is I didn't want it to be like, oh, we just forget history and repeat it. It's like, well, we don't have to, though.
But we don't have to, yeah. And I think it's a good reminder, here are the things that, and it's again, like you said, it was the same stuff, like being against the masks and blaming specific people groups. I mean, that just kept cycling over. And it's like, okay, so as per usual, people are selfish and kind of assholey. How can we move past those things? How can we think about each other more and be more loving to our neighbors and not quite so selfish? And like, what are the kinds of things we need to do to promote those good qualities?
Yeah. And to get, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I would be amiss if I didn't, you know, I tried to keep some politics out because I tried to keep it theological, but also it was impossible not to talk about some of that stuff because it just was so tied into it. And I think that's, we are coming, I live in North Carolina. I am inundated. The amount of paper that has been spent in my mailbox.
Yeah. You're in an important swing state. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I think we have to be, we can be critical thinkers about this. I am very happy and willing and open to say I will be voting Democrat on my ticket this time around.
Absolutely. And, same.
And so, and, but I'm also okay if that's not the way you view it. We all have our choices and we have those freedoms. And I think people will say, theologically speaking, are you informed? Yeah, that's going to inform how I vote. And so,
absolutely. I think more aware of theology, being more aware of my own beliefs and the ramifications of them informs most of my life, but like very specifically has informed my politics.
Yeah.
I think prior to really digging into theology, I didn't care about politics. I wasn't aware of how politics affected life. I think that it's something that goes hand in hand, really.
Yeah.
So.
Also, we have people on our ticket, like certain people who want to be governor that are just.
Oh my gosh! Like.
Like there's. I mean, there's having a difference of opinion with someone, and then there's just,
having a difference of opinion, and then there's a man who is so wildly unqualified to be in any kind of leadership position. He shouldn't be managing a Walmart, honestly.
That's a lot.
It was a lot. I don't know.
It's a lot. Like, it started a lot, and then it got to a lot, a lot.
It got to a lot. I mean, to the point where other Republicans are like,
he needs to withdraw.
This is crossing a line. I didn't know there was a line. For some of those people, and apparently he has, and then I saw what happened, and I was like, oh my god,
peer review is important because I like Christy read everything, and she does the same with me about what we publish, even if it's not our things, because you need someone to come in every once in a while and be like, hey,
girly. You've gone off the deep end here. Yeah.
If we both go off the deep end, you're going to have to help us.
Good people, and this is just, I mean, good life advice. No matter what you're doing, whether it is, like, I mean, genuinely, any kind of decisions, just have people you can run stuff by, because...
Mm.
We are not always great at making our own decisions. And I think isolation makes us less good at that, especially if we start thinking like, I know the best ways to do everything. I'm amazing. Like, you're not, though. You're gonna, like, that is a...
We're all gonna have
bad ideas. Leah drank raspberry.
And no one peer reviewed that for me. Thanks,
no guys. No one here made sure my orange juice hadn't expired. There is not an adultier adult in my house, so.
Stuart did not approve the extract. I think that's right. I mean, no matter what you do in life, really. Yeah. I mean, politics or writing or academics, like, you got to have a little community where people can.
You do. You've got it.
And honestly, too, I think, and this comes with time because it's not easy to always hear, especially, I think, in academia, you're taught to, like, that you're the best at everything, and you're one of those kids that got a lot of gold stars. And I think it's one of those things that, like, You have to, it's not easy. I don't take criticism well at all, especially if it's about my work that I really believe in. And sometimes I'll get a peer review and I'm like, well, that person woke up on the wrong side of the
Right. Oh, yeah.
But that being said, I think, you know, you have to take it into consideration and, like, you know,
you do. Well,
you gotta learn from it. And
I mean, and again, to have people that you trust who you've said to your own self and to that person, like, if you're saying something to me, I am committing to listening to you rather than just brushing it off. Because, yeah, I remember I got I got edits back on a chapter I wrote, and I threw a rage. I was so angry. I don't know if you remember this, but I was so mad. And I sent them to you, and I sent them to one other person, and both of you were like, well, actually, there's some good points here. And I had to be like, okay, like,
But then there were some things that we were like,
yeah. There were. Yeah. I mean, it helped balance. It helped me to feel like, okay, I'm maybe just got a little too precious about this, but also, like, there are some things that I can ignore. Like, I was able to make some edits and send it back, and, you know, but you have to have people like that in your life who can genuinely talk to you, and you're like, I will listen to you. I will.
Yeah. And I respect her. Like, I always tell Christy, like, please look at my theology. Make sure the theology makes sense.
I mean,
I get lost in my own theology sometimes. I'm like, I'm going around the roundabout. And it's like, so I don't. And, you know, some of it, I will say, in this last book was quite hard, because it's like some of the things that these churches believe that caused that were correlated to. They did practically, which was maybe deemed as irresponsible socially at the time, was a direct result of their theological beliefs. And so that was a hard sort of thing to navigate, because I didn't want to say that their theology was bad. Like, it's not that what they believed was systematically, like, not logical. Like, it didn't
track. Yeah.
Right. It's just that, so it was really an interesting thing. Try to navigate that. And so that's why I got Christy to look at stuff, because I was like, I'm losing myself. Don't even know what I think anymore. Oh, God. It
happens so often, you know, especially, I mean, when we're doing this, you get so bogged down, and you've been reading so many people, and all of a sudden everything is like, I mean, what way is up? What do I believe? What is even true? I mean, the number of existential crises that I have had just trying to write things that I tell myself to write. I mean, it's not even like homework that I'm being given. I'm like, I want to write this thing, and then I have a meltdown.
I know. And it's hard when you do, like, so a lot of my stuff is qualitative, which is for me far easier. For some people don't like qualitative stuff, because, like, having that human interaction and, like, discerning what they're saying and, like, filtering it through and feeding it back. That whole process, I don't really mind so much. It's equally hard, because it's more construction, I would say, like, constructive theology. Like, you're having to put together something.
Yes.
Like puzzle pieces. Whereas, like, I find theology hard sometimes, because I have to navigate the world of what they do and what they think. And also to say what they did was not great. But then, like, oh, gosh, but they think that. You know, like, if you believe fundamentally that God will heal you, and that you're, you know, if you believe enough that it doesn't matter if you get together with a whole bunch of people, and that is a whole group of people that believe that.
It is a whole, well, you know.
How do you be like, oh, you shouldn't get together?
To your point as well, because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I had to come back to the States in March 2020, which was traumatic in and of itself. And then I was finishing up my PhD, and so I was living in my parents' basement. And my dad is old, like, just objectively, my dad is old. I mean, love him, but, like, you know, I was late, and he's going to be 85 this year. So, but he's lived enough of a life that there's some amount of, like, I'm not going to be careful, because if I die, I die. Like, I'm 80, you know? And I was like, no, that's not okay with me and with mom and with your other children and your grandchildren. Like, you can't just be, like, flippant about your life because you're old. Like, you still have people. And he was like, well, you know, is my dad is a very strict Calvinist. And so he's like, well, you know, if it's my time to die, it's my time to die. It doesn't matter if it's from COVID or I get hit by a bus. And like, he believes that genuinely. And so there's a lot less fear of certain things with him than there would be with like me. Like, I, that's not how I am, but like, how do you have that conversation? You know, how do you,
that's right,
how do you work with, because you're not just saying like, please be careful of COVID. You're like, I disagree with you theologically, you know?
Right. And in some ways that's the purpose. Well, some people would say like sociology of religion, people would say that's the purpose of theology and religion, is to make you feel less afraid of some of these things. Like, that's why humans created these systems to begin with.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, you created the system to make you feel safe, but I'm telling you, that system is not right. You should be afraid. Be very afraid.
Be afraid. You should have more mortal fear than you do.
I'm glad that sacred canopy has held you up for so long, but you know what? It's wrong. So it was a lot of that negotiation.
Yeah.
And a lot of like I said, the televangelists were far easier than the churches because they're just money grabbing.
Yeah.
But like the churches were tougher because I really had to kind of like work in that. And lucky in a sense, I do better with writing when I know someone personally that is a part of something, because I can kind of see it through their eyes. Very close relative that was deep in sort of the high spirit movement.
Yeah.
Some of these traditions. And I saw a lot of the stuff that went on with her. And so it was easier for me to kind of view it that way and have sympathy, but also to be like, okay. And another thing, okay, maybe, you know, we still need to evaluate this in terms of public health. However, the other thing I will say is that in the research that I did, I couldn't really find any events that churches had that were like super spreader events. So like this big fear that people had that it was going to cause like imminent, you know,
right.
People die. Yes, absolutely. They did.
Yes,
die.
Absolutely. And it, especially like in enclosed communities, like those, there were those churches that had a lot of members die.
1,000%. There were,
but like,
it wasn't like a mass in the sense.
And it wasn't like, I mean, most, well, because to our earlier point, most of those people are fairly isolated within their own community as well. Mm-hmm. So they're not really spreading it outside of that community as much as you would think.
Yeah, so I tried to highlight some of the points where it was less about the people who had their beliefs and more about the leadership.
Yeah.
So, like, if you get some folks that are like, oh, I've blessed this handkerchief, and if you put it over your nose, you're not going to get COVID. Well, then I'm going to start saying, okay, like that's, you know,
ridiculous,
Right. It starts to get a little whatever. You're getting into the relics and artifacts stuff then, and then that's got its own history. Which, by the way, also happened in Albert Camus' book. They started wearing medallions because from Saint Roque, I think, or Roche. And it was
Who
believed it was blessed by the priest and that they wouldn't get the plague.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's just so fascinating to me. And this is something I pick up on when I'm reading stuff too, is like how much we as a people are just always the same. Like reading literature from a long time ago, and you're just like, oh yeah, all of that happened just yesterday.
And it's comforting. I will say, as like a practical person, it's comforting because you're like, you know, we are the same, we're the same people who are trying to do the same thing, and there's just something like, I think, quite community building about that, is that we're all sort of like reaching for the same thing. But on the flip side of that, we're like, okay, but we don't read books anymore, and so it means we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Yep. I mean, also, it's like you have some amount of hope because, like, okay, like I was saying earlier, like, things are better objectively than they were in the past, but also, like, they aren't, because we're still the same people. Like, we're just doing the same things over and over again. And so it's just a cycle, and that can be good and bad. That can be frustrating.
Under local humanities departments, guys. They're going under.
Right? Like, and also this is, I mean, soapbox for the two of us, but this is why it's so important to study the humanities and understand, like, education as a whole is valuable as its own end, not just to make money. Like, I think that's the most frustrating part of being in education is people being like, well, how is this going to make money? Like, right. I get we all need to make money, but like you can find ways. There are options out there. You don't have to study accounting.
Although I did talk to a student who was in that 18 to 22 year old bracket, and he was like, well, Dr. Robinson, everyone's studying computers and STEM now, so it'll oversaturate the market, and then you'll be everyone will want humanities people and they'll all make all the money. And he paused, and I was like, well, that's really encouraging. Thanks for giving me that lesson. And he goes, you'll probably be dead by then, though.
Yeah.
Not retired, Christy. Dead. I'll be dead by then. And I was like, sir, how old do you think I am? And then I realized I was double his age. But I was like, you'll be dead by then.
You'll probably be dead by then? Oh, my God.
So, we're fighting the good fight over
these youngins.
As I sit for my year 2000. Hey, we were the first graduating class of the new millennium, although a lot of people argued that it was 99, but whatever. We were.
You know what? Years. Okay, as a quick, because I was in 2001, and we said we were the first class of the new millennium because, like, if you're counting, like, 1 through 10 is 1 through 10, and then 11 through 20 is the next set of 10. And so 2001 is the first in the new millennium, not 2000. But
it changed numbers. We went from 90s to 2000.
I think we were trying to feel special, okay?
This explains a lot. Explains a lot. I don't think 99 can defend it, though, because we had, like, people above us.
That's illogical, completely. Not just 99.
99 is just 99. 99 does have the Prince song,
Yeah. I mean, they've got enough. They let them have their own things. They can't steal the millennium.
Well, Christy, that was our summer. And then we came back and then we...
And now we're back and we've got some exciting...
It's almost October.
I know. I can't believe it's almost October. Fall is arriving for some of you. It's not in Florida. Just hurricanes are arriving in Florida. But we do have some exciting updates coming along the path that we will keep you all posted about. Some news and some things that we want to do.
We've got some guest speakers coming.
It's going to be great. We're really excited to be back. We're really excited to kind of get back into the Theology on the Rocks as a thing. We've missed y'all. We've missed talking about these things. For sure. So
it's Christy good. And I didn't talk the whole summer.
We avoided each other like the plague.
We didn't talk like every day or anything at all.
Not at all. We didn't spend multiple days in various places. No.
I'm working on a new book too. We can talk about that, which will be fun.
Yeah. I'm leaving another new book.
Leaving COVID behind.
She is churning them out. She's got her own spot of reserved space on my bookshelf because I expect many more to come. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good next few months and year and et cetera, now that we have recovered from the summer appropriately.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever had a 42-year-old moment like I had this summer.
I mean, honestly.
I'm just not built for it anymore. I'm not rich enough to fix this.
I know. I'm just like, oh my God, it was like I said, it was so lovely. I really loved being able to go to both of the weddings that I went to. And obviously it's always good to see people in Scotland, but like, man, it wiped me out.
This was not about humans. You know us and humans. We live
it's
for
our
that.
Favorite thing.
It's our favorite thing. But like, the time. She got us. She got
it,
us.
Yeah, it got
the
us.
The whiskey didn't help either, Christy, I'll say.
Leah went on a white wine journey that I never saw coming. It was a lot.
I don't know where it came from. You know what? I do know where it came from. It came from it being, so, at least in North Carolina, spring was really wet, not very nice. And then when it hit, like, end of June, it got hot. But, like, we usually get, like, a lead up. It just got hot.
Yeah.
And then it got hot, hot. And then I went to Scotland, and it's never hot. But it was
very cold.
It was cold, but then it was hot for the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The wedding was gorgeous, gorgeous weather in Glasgow, which is unheard of. But
unheard of.
It was hot.
And so I drank some white wine, and people were concerned.
We were losing our, we were like, who? Somebody has body snatched Leah.
I mean, I think I have PTSD from the Scottish reception where my teeth were like they were rotting out of my head because of red wine. Look at these beauties now. Y'all can't see them, but they're looking good because I bleached them 500 times.
Oh, Lord. And we've got another episode of Hot Ones coming up that we have guests for as well. We're going to be doing that at Beer Camp. So, and then we'll obviously be posting it once
it's recorded. Doing it with our friend Tom from Orbis Books.
Yep. Tom is going to join us for an exciting round of Hot Ones. We're, yeah, it's going to be a great.
Each other clips of bad things. That we are going to petition you guys for some questions.
Yes. Definitely need questions.
If you do have any questions you want us to answer on the Hot Ones Challenge, take a look at our last to see if you want to see like what kind of questions we answered. And, you know, if you want to throw in a cat question or if you really want to ask about whether hell exists or not, we've done both.
We've done both. Yeah. I mean, we'll run the gamut with you guys on the Hot Ones. It's going to be exciting. Get questions and get Tom's take on stuff and...
Oh, yeah. It's good to have another person, I think. And yeah. Tom will be great.
Tom is super.
He's deep in the theology world, and it'll be good to, because, you know, we don't have enough white guys running around. No.
I just want to have that one token white guy just to represent.
I mean, just to, like, we want to represent the diversity of our world. We love you, Tom. You know it.
He's gonna appreciate this. Yeah, it's gonna be super. So yeah, keep an eye on the space, and like I said, we've got some updates, we've got some exciting news, we've got Leah's book eventually, a date will be announced.
Weezer in concert, we can talk about that.
Weezer, Blink-182. You know, we can continue our age-old argument about Dave Grohl, especially given the newest information.
I almost felt bad for Chris. I always fight with Christy about Dave Grohl, and then all this stuff came out, and I was like, I'm sorry, Christy. I don't need to fight you anymore. You're just getting caught by the internet now.
It's just not that deep, y'all.
But guys, here's the thing, and this is politicians, theologians, you know, I almost said magicians. I meant musicians, but magicians too. Just don't put yourself on a damn high horse. And you won't fall so hard.
You won't fall so hard if you have some humility in your life. You know, it's just, I mean, this happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it does. But the higher you climb, the farther you climb, the farther you're going to fall.
And you know, again, you really need to have those people who are around you that are going to say things like, hey, don't do that.
If you're going to, you know, let's just say this is hypothetical. Hypothetically. If you're going to want to be a governor of a swing state and you're going to want to really hate on trans or LGBT people and say it's a sin or, I don't know, an abomination. Again, hypothetical.
Hypothetically.
Maybe don't go on a porn site and comment about how you like watching it in the porn.
Yeah, just maybe don't do that. Maybe also don't go to that same porn site and talk about how you'd like to own slaves.
All of this is hypothetical, guys.
Hypothetically speaking.
Maybe don't. Our message for you today is to get some peer people around you. Some
good peer review going on in your day-to-day life. That's the takeaway from this episode. Have some good peer review in your life.
Even if it's on a website. Singles, maybe just get a peer review before you press that sin button.
This is what we really need in the world. We don't need AI. What we need is some kind of, hey, You don't want to put that up. That's not for the world.
Yeah, it's not like government overreach or any kind of like conspiracy theory. It could be just like, remember the little paper clip that was in Word?
Yeah,
that was like, do you really want to do that? We just need them back.
Really want to do that?
Clippy needs to just be in our lives in general and be like, hey, girl.
Hey.
Sure about that one?
Maybe don't do that. That's a bad idea. Yeah.
On that note, shall we conclude?
We will. Yes, we'll conclude. Like I said, we'll be posting some updates and we'll be back not in 7 months, but in a short period of time.
Yeah. I mean, next week. We'll just say we'll be back next week.
Back next week. It'll be next week.
My mother-in-law's in town from Scotland, but we'll still be there.
We'll be there.
We'll be there. Now, will you be there or will you abandon
us? I know. Have you forgiven us for our long, long absence? Or are you like my dog who throws an entire party every time I walk into the house?
You do that. All right. We love you guys.
Bye.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I just have to push stop.